It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Black lung continues to plague the region as miners who dedicated their lives to the coal industry are now left in a holding pattern.
It's a long, drawn-out process for something that really should be really simple. If it takes us 10 years, we'll be right here. You know what I'm saying?
We'll have that story in just a bit. This is West Virginia Morning. A controversial and sweeping tax reform overhaul met its demise Tuesday in the West Virginia Senate when the second and most essential part of a two-pronged plan to wipe out tangible personal property taxes was rejected. Dave Mistich has more.
At the heart of the proposal was a six-year phase-out of taxes on manufacturers, motor vehicles, and retail inventory. The overhaul would have also called for increases to tobacco and consumer sales taxes, a component created to backfill about $200 million of what would have been nearly $300 million in lost revenue. Senate Joint Resolution 9 would have allowed the legislature to reduce or fully repeal any type of personal property tax. As a proposed constitutional amendment, the measure needed 23 votes in favor for it to advance to the House of Delegates. In two-plus hours of debate Tuesday, Republicans framed Senate Joint Resolution 9 as allowing lawmakers to create a more business-friendly environment in the state and giving citizens the final say on whether they should pay taxes on their automobiles. Democrats, though, argued that the plan left too many unknowns for future budgets, would take the power away from counties, and would put the burden on taxpayers who have the least. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich at the Capitol.
According to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, 33% of West Virginia women and 41% of West Virginia men experience intimate partner physical or sexual violence and/or stalking in their lifetime. In West Virginia, an estimated one-third of all homicides are linked to domestic violence. On last night's episode of The Legislature Today, host Suzanne Higgins spoke with Delegate Sammy Brown, a Democrat from Jefferson County. Brown is a member of the House Judiciary Committee, and she's known to be outspoken on domestic violence issues. Higgins and Brown discussed some successful domestic violence legislation this session, but also looked at some bills that may not make it to the governor's desk this year. Here's an excerpt from their interview, taped live at the Capitol.
Let's just begin with some your thoughts about the crime, the alarming rate of assault in West Virginia, and what you know the work to be of these domestic violence shelters.
Absolutely. So the culture here in West Virginia, I think that the top lines really speak to a familial unit, having a faith-based system, and really the sense of community. But what's being swept under the rug is potentially some of the diminutive language that's used towards, I'll say, marginalized communities as a whole. And what that has culminated in is an inordinate amount of violence. I'm seeing it everywhere from young ages all the way through adulthood, and then relationships as a whole. We're finding there's this abusive component. And additionally, we're not addressing the core of systemic rape culture. And so we've now not addressed an epidemic that's happening in our state. I could argue across the country.
You believe there are presuppositions about not only victims, but perpetrators. Talk about that.
Well, there's a power dynamic, of course. And then, so when you have the victim and assailant relationship, the idea is that the victim somehow solicited this violence, that it's their doing. And when we address this, even through our criminal justice system, there's an implicit bias towards the victim or survivor. And so we're not actually getting to the core of justice, because there's already this mindset in place that's permeated the very system that's supposed to find us closure and justice. And a lot of the policy that I've advocated for is rooted in that concept.
Let's go over some of those pieces of legislation. Already successful this session, House Bill 4476. This bill would require a quick turnaround in testing and collection of rape kits. It is in front of the governor to sign. Describe the situation that this bill addresses, which is really shocking. And it's a scenario, again, across the country.
Yes. So, End the Backlog was a bill that I pursued immediately upon coming into legislature. This year, we got all of the stakeholders, brought them to the table, and we were ready to address this in a way that could be implemented in a quick and efficient way. The issue was that survivors of assault would go through the evasive procedure of getting tested so they could have evidentiary support in seeking justice. But we weren't turning around those kits. That is an inherent injustice.
Not turning around. Some of those kits have been there a couple decades,
we
found.
You've got it.
In West Virginia, a couple decades.
Unacceptable to me. So here we are with individuals that said, I'm going to be brave enough to go to the hospital, get myself tested, submit this support, and we're not coming through for them as a government.
And actually, many of the victims thought that, well, of course they're being tested.
Yes.
But there would be years and years of hearing nothing.
But they're being held. So in this piece of legislation, not only was it a promise to get these tests, get the kits tested, but then we have a system in which it's to be done. And then on the floor, I amended in language that is about victim notification, so that not only are you seeing that these tests are being taken seriously, but that the victim themselves can track the progress.
I want to talk about two bills that are still pending in judiciary. House Bill 4592, extending periods of reporting assaults. What would that do?
Statute of limitations. It extends the period of time in which your evidentiary support, that your complaint, if you will, can be brought forward and be prosecuted.
And with crossover day tomorrow, what does the fate of this bill look like?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm hoping for the very best. There has been a lot of support from the chairman. I'm hoping we can make this a priority as well.
You also have spoken about the tracking bill, 4199. What would that do?
The tracking in and of itself would make sure that we have a system in place that allows for us to know where our process is. If we're seeking justice, we should know where we are in that judicial process. If we're going to be putting ourselves and our personal well-being through litigation, well, then you should know that there's progress being made.
And again, that's been parked in Judiciary, House Judiciary, since January 14th. We know that Delegate Mike Pushkin of Kanawha County did indeed, on day one, introduce a bill that would have implemented a domestic violence registry. It's gone nowhere.
Right.
It was sent to Judiciary, House Judiciary, mm-hmm. where it has been the entire session.
It's been parked. You've got
Why is that important? How would that help victims?
In the same way that sexual assault registry is indicative of the culture right now, it lets folks know that there is a history of this that is far more prevalent than we're willing to acknowledge right now. And I think it's important in so many ways to have transparency and accountability. This is absolutely one of those ways to do so. I know the delegate from Kanawha has also been a really great ally and a champion in those issues with me, and I appreciate his efforts, but we're also going to have to double down to make sure that these are a priority in the next couple of years. It's going to take some time.
You want an affirmative consent bill. That's something you're working on. A half a minute. Give us a reason why.
Again, going back to that power dynamic. So
this is on higher education institutions in West Virginia. What would it mandate of the institution?
Well, it would mandate of the institution that you acknowledge that there is a player A and a player B, and these acts are not consensual unless there is an audible yes. Along with that bill, we also address language around stalking and harassment, and that's why it's, again, very important to put forward comprehensive legislation like that to address some of the disparities within law right now. So we can have a conversation about what it means to carry a deadly weapon. We can have a conversation about what it means to implement two-way rights, but we can't have that, especially in a violence dynamic or a culture that is truly indicative of rape culture, without addressing what it means to respect one another's space and autonomy.
That was Delegate Sammy Brown speaking with Suzanne Higgins last night on the Legislature Today. To hear the full interview, visit our website at wvpublic.org. As the epidemic of black lung disease continues to affect minors across the Ohio Valley, a review of state records in Kentucky shows that sick minors there could have a harder time getting benefits. 2 years ago, Kentucky lawmakers made a controversial change to the rules for black lung benefits. Now data shows that since the change, the percent of Kentucky minors diagnosed by state-approved experts is having the disease fell by half. Sydney Bowles has the story.
Lynn Stanley worked in coal mining for 46 years.
I don't know if anybody really likes work, but you got to do something to occupy your time.
Stanley says he'd still be working if his doctor hadn't told him he was too sick.
And it kept getting progressively worse and harder to breathe to the point that it got to where I just really couldn't do my job. I didn't have enough oxygen.
Stanley watched family members die of black lung disease, so he knew what was happening to him. And he knew that he was entitled to state benefits for his occupational disease. So he got an x-ray taken, and he sent it to a radiologist.
They read it and said I had first one and second stage complicated.
Over the next few months, three more physicians would tell Stanley he had a pretty serious case of black lung. But in court, none of that would matter, because in 2018, Kentucky passed a law saying that only certain pulmonologists could be given what's called presumptive weight in determining whether a coal miner would get benefits. Right now, only two pulmonologists are serving in that role. One of them, Dr. Bruce Brody, said Stanley had a less advanced form of the disease.
Unfortunately, that's not uncommon in these cases.
That's Tom Moak. He's Stanley's lawyer, and he watched what happened when Kentucky changed the law 2 years ago.
Somebody like Dr. Brody, who has a history of working for coal companies, generally speaking, is considered more conservative. He almost always finds somebody who does not have black lung or has one of the lower levels of black lung.
Doctors Brody and Byron Westerfield, the two pulmonologists currently reading x-rays in black lung cases, both declined to comment for this story. But data from the Kentucky Department of Workers' Claims show that both doctors sided with the coal companies more often than with the coal miners. And in 2019, the first full year with this new law in effect, the share of claims in which one of the two state-approved physicians diagnosed black lung fell by more than half. Just 16 coal miners were awarded state benefits last year. Tyler White is the president of the Kentucky Coal Association, which supported the 2018 law known as House Bill 2.
What we've seen is a more accurate diagnosis and appropriate treatment plans post-House Bill 2.
How do you know that it's more accurate?
What do you mean, how do you know if they're more accurate? A lung specialist should be diagnosing lung issues, not radiologists.
But the professional organization representing pulmonologists disagrees with that. In 2018, a spokesperson said that law seemed, quote, specifically passed to exclude physicians who are neutral. Organizations representing pulmonologists and radiologists have called for the repeal of the law. The problem has caught the attention of Kentucky State Representative Angie Hatton, a Democrat of Letcher County.
I know the sound of a man's lungs turning black, and I'm tired of seeing people that I love wait so long for hearing that they pass away before they ever get their benefits.
Hatton introduced a bill this year that would allow radiologists to diagnose and state claims again. The bill is awaiting a hearing in committee. Lynn Stanley knows the process might take a while, but he says he's not going anywhere.
It's a long, drawn-out process for something that really should be really simple. If it takes us 10 years, we'll be right here. You know what I'm saying?
For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Sydney Bowles in Prestonsburg, Kentucky.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our news director and producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.